everybody, and welcome to today's episode of What's Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Alia from Alia Yoga. This is episode 24, Universal Principles of Wellness, and we are approaching the end of season one of What's Wellness. It's amazing to look back at the beginning of this journey. If you've been with me all along, having started out as two yogis in a pod and transitioning with COVID from a partnership to a solo cast, which was an absolute whirlwind and an incredible opportunity for me to choose to pivot and redirect, stay committed, remain accountable, and dig deep within myself to bring forward content that I hope is inspiring you and contributing in a positive way to your life. I've been looking forward to creating this episode for you ever since I began What's Wellness, because I've always said that this podcast is about the universal and individual principles of wellness. However, I've yet to explain from my standpoint exactly what that means. I thought it to be important first, however, to get a foundation established and talk with you about different topics related to yoga, nutrition, meditation, mindfulness, intuition, and share with the interviews that have already been released. Now, many of you have been with me since day one, and wow, I can't thank you enough. I feel like this show has come such a long way, and the support that you have offered along the way, the evolution of this, has really sustained me and inspired me to continue. Thank you so much for being along for this wild ride. And if you have just found this podcast, welcome. I hope you'll learn something and be inspired to go back and listen to previous episodes, as well as become a part of the What's Wellness community by interacting on Instagram and sending in questions or comments, or by leaving a review in the iTunes podcast app. I'm very excited to have a new review in the iTunes podcast app to read to you today for the Warm Words of the Week segment. When there are no new reviews, I'll do this segment as the Wise Words of the Week instead and offer you an inspirational quote. But to have a new review means so much to me and honestly makes my day and week, because without you reaching out and offering feedback, I just don't know exactly whether these episodes hit home or miss the mark. So thank you in advance for taking the time to leave a review and rating. I'll be donating money on your behalf to the Rob Machado Foundation, and I feel so fortunate to have the opportunity to give back to the community in your name in this way. So today's warm words of the week come from, I hope I don't mess this up, it's either AJ Adan or Ajadan, something like that. The title is Awesome Content and Great Value. And the review says, I love Alia and this podcast about everything wellness. Each episode provides so much value and covers various topics that I love and keep me on my toes, as there is always more to learn. The guests that have been on the show have also been very knowledgeable, and I love the way Alia is so thorough in her interviewing, which in itself is a skill. Alia is a wealth of knowledge, an expert in health and fitness, and also one of my favorite yoga instructors, a trifecta of perfection with a heart eyes emoji. Love Thursdays. Wow, that review made my heart explode with gratitude. Thank you. I am so touched and so glad that you love Thursdays and are enjoying this show. Hey, do me a favor when you hear your warm words read on air, take a screenshot and post to your social media, tag at What's Wellness Podcast and at Alia Yoga, and I'll share and shout you out as well. Thank you once again, sending a virtual hug and so much appreciation for you taking the time to leave those very warm, heartfelt words. Moving on to the topic of today's episode about the universal principles of wellness in just a moment. Stay tuned during this quick break with a word from Anchor, and I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, and thanks for staying tuned. When I say universal principles, what I mean is that these aspects or practices span across cultures and lifestyles and can be incorporated by anyone in order to cultivate a deeper understanding of what wellness feels like and the ability to move towards optimal well-being on the physical, energetic, mental, and emotional, as well as spiritual levels. Universal principles of wellness incorporate a broad view of how to navigate through the endless options and choices that we are so fortunate to have at our fingertips here in Western culture. It is most definitely a privilege to live somewhere with so many opportunities and choices. The freedom to pursue wellness and optimum health from the standpoint of what works best for an individual, however, incorporating universal principles and using intuition to decide how to move forward are freedoms that not everyone in the world has the luxury of. And for that, I pause to take a moment to appreciate and not take for granted the opportunity to make choices from a place of knowledge and awareness that are best for my health. And now I'll break down the basic universal principles of wellness that I'm going to talk about today, and then I'll dive a little bit deeper to hone in on each one. These are principles that I have incorporated into my life and daily routines, and the reason they are universal is because they are broad principles. To make them individual requires intuition and listening to your body. To deepen your intuition on this level, go back to episode 23 on intuitive movement and intuitive eating. The principles that I'll discuss today are proper nutrition, proper hydration, including minerals, proper rest, adequate exercise for strength, mobility, and endurance, a positive mental attitude and emotional support from community, and a relationship with God, or a higher power, the universe, or the divine, whatever resonates with you. This includes prayer or meditation practice. And finally, the ability to feel your own energy and cleanse your energy when needed. There are additional principles that go deeper and govern processes like hormones, digestion and elimination, your immune system functions, and other internal aspects that go way beyond the basics. These aspects that take you deeper into your understanding of what wellness is for your body move towards the individual aspects of wellness that are tailored to fit your needs and will change frequently as you age. Working on the universal principles, we'll start today with proper nutrition. And that takes both an awareness of what proper nutrition is from the standpoint of vitamins and minerals that we can get from foods, as well as the adequate balance of protein, fat, and carbohydrates, or macronutrients. Without there being a one-size-fits-all guideline to follow, it's important to get to know your body and what it needs to function at its best. Overall, incorporating more color variety in our plant consumption is something that I recommend to anyone who is trying to eat healthier. This can be done by eating a variety of seasonal fruits and vegetables. In addition, universally, we can all become healthier by consuming less sugar and less inflammatory foods. Now, we approach more individual principles when you start to break down which foods are inflammatory, because what can cause a reaction or response in your body may process easily in mine, or the other way around. Common inflammatory foods, however, are dairy, corn, soy, sugar, processed foods, and alcohol. However, there are also ways to combat inflammation with foods by incorporating into your lifestyle antioxidants, superfoods, and the next principle, which is proper hydration, which you can combat inflammation from the inside out with. I love incorporating turmeric in my cooking, which is highly anti-inflammatory. And for proper hydration, we think about how much water is recommended for people to drink daily. I hear mixed suggestions, but most commonly, it's consuming about half your body weight in ounces of water every day. Now, there's a caveat to that because many of us enjoy coffee in the morning and a glass of wine in the evening, in which case it is recommended to drink an extra 8-ounce cup of water for each 8-ounce serving of coffee or alcohol. Additionally, remember that if you exercise and sweat, that you'll need to replenish with even more water. Conversely, however, it is possible to drink too much water, which oddly enough can lead to dehydration. I'll explain to you why. Think about the mineral content in your body. Based on the amount of magnesium, potassium, calcium, and sodium that's in your body based on what you consume. When you add water, the molecules from the water begin to absorb the minerals in your body, which is necessary. However, too much water without adding more minerals leads to dilution of those minerals, which can contribute to further dehydration. That's why electrolyte drinks have become pretty mainstream this day and age, especially for athletes, despite the most common being Gatorade and Powerade, which has way more added sugar than is necessary or even really healthy to consume. An alternative to those popular drinks is coconut water, which has natural sugar as long as you make sure there's no added sugar, as well as no artificial colors. You've perhaps heard me talk about Soleil water, which is what I make and drink daily to remain hydrated and to remineralize. Now, the theory behind making and drinking Soleil water is that the molecules from the water absorb the minerals from the pink Himalayan salt that I use. Remember to use a glass jar with a plastic lid, nothing metal, to avoid corrosion. You can find more information about Soleil water and how to make it on my website, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes for easy navigation. But proper hydration will help your body flush out toxins, helps with digestion and elimination. It's important for all of the major muscles and organs of your body to function properly and help regulate your energy and physical performance. Avoiding sugary drinks while maintaining proper hydration is an important balance and something to stay mindful and aware of. One of my favorite ways to hydrate without added sugars is to incorporate fruits instead. I love making a very simple hydrating smoothie with coconut water. By the way, check that it doesn't have sugar added. I'll use a cup of coconut water, half a frozen banana, a small pinch of pink salt, and you can add more things like your favorite protein powder, spirulina, or other superfoods, or a handful of spinach. Customize to fit your body's needs and maximize the nutritional benefits from your choices. Hydration is super important, and so is the next principle, which is proper rest. This, of course, means getting enough sleep and having awareness of good sleep hygiene. It's also learning how to feel the up and down regulations of your nervous system and being able to self-soothe and calm your system when you feel extra anxiety or stress compounding. With regards to getting enough sleep, each individual has different requirements. You likely know whether you can function well from 6 to 8 hours of sleep, or if you require more like 8 to 10 hours nightly. Most adults do well with an average of 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night if you get adequate quality rest without disruption or disturbances. Sleep hygiene has a lot to do with your preparation for a good night's sleep. Having your phone off or on silent and away from your head is important. I sleep with my phone on silent, and it sits on a nightstand more towards the middle of our bed rather than right by my head. It would be better to put my phone in another room. However, I use it as my alarm clock. We know with the research that has come out about the light that our screens give off that it is best to limit cell phone and screen usage in the evenings when you're preparing to go to sleep. and to incorporate blue blocker glasses, especially with prolonged time behind a screen. Speaking of which, I'm going to put mine on real quick since I'm using my laptop to record this. That's better. Other ways to help you get quality sleep and rest are to use essential oils like lavender to promote relaxation or to listen to guided meditations that help facilitate relaxation for your body and your mind as you drift off into dreamland. You can also use products like CBD for safe and effective relaxation. CBD is also anti-inflammatory and helps to relieve joint and muscle pain and soreness, helps to alleviate anxiety, and promotes recovery and restful sleep. I have found an amazing CBD tincture that I use nightly, and so does my husband. I've shared it with friends and family that use and love it now as well. I actually became a distributor for this CBD company and have been able to provide this very high quality tincture with no additives and no heavy metals for people who are interested in trying it. If that's you, send me a quick message and I'll share more information. Having some tools in your tool belt to handle situations when you wake up in the middle of the night and have difficulty falling back asleep are really important. For me, I frequently wake up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom and have a couple of different techniques for drifting quickly back to sleep. I'll do a body scan, starting at my feet and working my way upwards, focusing on and relaxing each part of my body with mindfulness. Or I'll count my breaths. An inhale and an exhale is one, the next inhale and exhale is two, and so on. If neither of those work, I may try box breathing technique. I'll breathe in for a count of four, retain and hold the breath in for a four count, and then exhale to a four count and hold the breath out for another four count. This typically does the trick and helps me fall asleep very quickly. If you exercise regularly and push your body, it's important to also take rest days so your body can properly repair and replenish. Exercise, although very important and is itself a universal principle of wellness, it's also putting stress on your body to some degree and can sometimes lead to inflammation response when it is not balanced with rest and replenishment for adequate recovery. You can still have active recovery days when you go for a walk or a slow swim rather than the activities that get your heart rate up or that involve a lot of strength. I love gentle yoga and slow walks for active recovery days to cultivate balance between strength and softness, both of which are so important. This part of the conversation leads right into the principle of adequate exercise. This is such a multifaceted topic because there are so many various forms of exercise, and what one person loves and enjoys, someone else may not. So making a universal principle into something that fits an individual's preferences is key. Balance between three different components is a great way to foster wellness within the realm of exercise, and those three components are strength training, cardiovascular exercise, and mobility and flexibility work. Having strong muscles and bones is incredibly important, especially as we age. And keeping your heart healthy is equally important. Being able to exert effort for a sustained amount of time is vital for staying in shape as you age. And remembering to incorporate stretching to maintain mobility and increase flexibility so that you can do all of these activities well into your golden years are vital. Exercise, in my opinion, should not be punishment. When I hear people pushing themselves harder today because of something they ate yesterday, I want to talk to them about celebrating with short-term indulgences so as not to feel guilty, which can be more harmful than enjoying the actual treat, and then working out for long-term health and well-being. When you stress over what you eat, you increase cortisol in your body, which is more detrimental, like I'm saying, than just enjoying that piece of cake or slice of pie or scoop of ice cream, which you can, in your mind, frame as a celebration for yourself. Find forms of exercise that you enjoy. If you like being in nature, start learning where there are good hiking or bike trails near you. If you prefer to work out indoors but don't have access to a gym, try doing a guided home workout or turn on your favorite jams and dance around your house for 20 minutes. You don't need equipment. Push-ups and sit-ups can be done anywhere, along with a lot of different stretching exercises. Recently, I filmed a 30-minute core strengthening workout that is up on my YouTube now that you can do from anywhere and don't need any equipment. 50% of it is making the choice and the effort, then following through. Sticking with it and acknowledging yourself for what you accomplished is the other component of being successful with working out, especially from home. Change up your routine, keep yourself engaged and interested in it, and have fun while you work out. Find a buddy to stay accountable with, or join an outdoor group that does hikes or jogs or boot camp style workouts, then make the commitment to yourself to keep it up. And being part of a community when it comes to exercise can be super helpful for remaining accountable. But a positive mental attitude and emotional support from community is itself a component of wellness that I have found to be also universal. By having people in your life who you can turn to for support and lean on when you're experiencing a challenge is critical for feeling like you're not alone in the world. As technology advances, we physically need each other less and less, but emotionally, it's so important to have community. And from the standpoint of energetics, remembering that we are all connected. Having a positive mental attitude is different from being happy all the time. I'm not talking about bypassing the challenges or the tough days with a smile on your face. That's not being unapologetically, authentically yourself. However, learning that even in the discomfort, there is opportunity for growth, and that on the other side is your greater evolution and a valuable lesson, gives rise to the opportunity to feel hopeful for a glimmer of light, even in the darkest of places. In the past few weeks, I have been sharing a bit more personally, and although it can be challenging for me, I'm becoming more comfortable with sharing vulnerably with you here because I know that it is valuable and important to do so. From a place of authenticity and transparency, receiving emotional support from others has always been a weak link for me on my wellness journey, as it's difficult at times to explain and share the depth of the challenges that I face with my digestion and everything else that goes along with it. I've navigated through depression and days of sadness where I have felt little hope for a future where I'm not restricted on what my digestive system can process and where I don't experience pain with the foods that I eat. It has been a long road for me, and before I met my husband, a lot of my journey was done very much alone because of the stigma that I have experienced from being a person who is fit and in shape, but who also doesn't get to eat normal food without suffering pain and problems for days. I've tried to just forget about it and live a normal life, but I realized quickly that it's just not worth it if I can't leave my home for days afterwards due to the results from my actions. Truth be told, I've had rumors spread about me that were hurtful and false due to the fact that I'll go to restaurants to socialize and be with friends, but will eat beforehand so as not to get sick. The process I had to go through was lonely, and I felt very isolated because I never want to come across as complaining or bring others down with me if I'm struggling. I am fortunate, however, that my family and my husband have been extremely supportive and understanding of what I face daily and have been there for me through my darkest and toughest days. Vulnerability isn't really my strong suit, so bear with me here because I do think it's important to share, but to me, the details are less important than the lesson or the message. For a long time, I considered myself Alia Island, and I didn't feel like I could truly rely on others. That the only one who could be there for me 100% is myself. And even that proved to be difficult at times. For a long time, I would say to myself that I didn't need anyone. I could do life alone and be just fine. But I wasn't fine. I felt isolated, misunderstood, lonely, and disconnected. To bring balance into this aspect of my life and more wellness through connection and community, I have found numerous outlets and ways to not only remain positive in my mental attitude, but also focused on what is truly important in life. This connects to mental and emotional well-being, as well as your spiritual wellness. Now, spiritual well-being has been a beautiful journey for me and has unfolded especially in the past couple of years. I have two Jewish parents, and I got baptized as a Christian in 2017, making a choice and a commitment to follow Jesus. Connecting with my church community has made a huge difference in my relationships with myself, with others, and with God. Being a part of our church, including volunteering to help serve others, participating in small groups with other couples in a similar stage of life as my husband and I, and being able to share my heart with God has profoundly impacted my spiritual well-being and has helped me feel not alone, even when I'm faced with a challenge. I believe that many faiths are more similar than different because of another universal principle in life called love your neighbor as yourself. This goes beyond who lives next door to you. In fact, what it really means is everyone is your neighbor, and everyone is worthy of being treated with respect, kindness, and compassion, regardless of your religious or non-religious beliefs. If you have a way to connect with source energy and a power greater and higher than oneself, you will never be alone. And to deepen that relationship is to understand that this source of energy, whether you call it God, the universe, or a higher power, whatever name you wish to give, is all around you and also within you. Making the choice to follow Jesus was a huge step for me in my wellness journey and a relationship that I am so grateful for every day. The last principle I'll cover today has to do with the ability to know how your energy feels and distinguish your own from the energy of others that can be experienced as your own without the inner work that it takes to recognize the difference. If you have ever been around someone who is negative, always complaining, and who sees their cup half empty, and then left the interaction feeling drained, unhappy, and/or irritated, then you've experienced someone else's energy manifesting itself within your own. The realization that everything has an energetic frequency, from our thoughts to our movements to our words. This means that we have more control over our energy than we may realize. The earth has an energetic frequency, as do plants, animals, the ocean, and anything that is alive. Those who are sensitive to energy fields and frequencies can walk into a room and sense whether there is a positive or negative vibe among the people in the space. Many with these sensitivities wind up taking on the energy of others without necessarily realizing it, And over time, this buildup or residue can inhibit the full expression of your energetic well-being. So what do you do? I have a number of personal practices that help me both protect and cleanse myself from other people's energies. I am sensitive, especially to large groups of people, particularly crowds. However, I enjoy going to live concerts and have even gone to a couple of festivals where crowds are a big part of the experience. Beforehand, I prepare myself by visualizing a clear bubble of energy around me in both the front and the back of my body. My bubble extends out about a foot in all directions, and I imagine it almost like a bubble suit that I can zip myself up into. I set an intention with my mind that this is to protect me from other people's energies and also to protect my energy from being drawn out of me. Another practice I incorporate as a yoga instructor is at the end of the day to spend some time in a quiet place and meditate on calling any energy that I gave to others to come back to me. Cleansed, transmuted, and alchemized so that it can restore, re-energize, and even heal me. Simultaneously, I'll ask to send any energy that is not mine back to its source, also cleansed and transmuted, to be that which heals and energizes others and from whom it came. Lastly, I'll take a shower and imagine the water as cleansing any stale, stagnant, or otherwise unnecessary energy from me to be sent back into the earth, alchemized and transmuted, to be recycled and regenerated by the planet. I have felt palpable, tangible shifts in both my wellness and my energy through incorporating practices like these. At the beginning of my yoga teaching career, when I would teach upwards of 15 classes a week, I'd come home exhausted, depleted, and not wanting to talk to anyone. I would feel empty, drained, and unmotivated to do anything fun or otherwise, other than sleep and prepare for the next day. When I learned about how much energy I was leaking and how much unnecessary energy I was picking up from others, my eyes were opened to the energetic hygiene and being able to distinguish what is mine and what isn't. This takes time and fine-tuning your sensitivity to energy, a process that unfolds in profoundly powerful ways when you take the time for discovery by going inwards and tuning into yourself. Learning how to distinguish your energy from others and cleansing yourself energetically is important from the standpoint of holistic wellness that encompasses more than your physical body. Holistic wellness incorporates the physical body, of course, but also, as you've heard me say pretty much every episode, also encompasses and emphasizes energetic, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being just as much as the physical aspects. Now, this conversation is something I'm so passionate about. I could talk on and on for hours on the principles of wellness that are both universal and individual. However, I want to be mindful of your time. I know that these types of conversations can bring up questions, and I would love to hear from you. What did you learn today? What did you like? What questions do you have, and how does this topic relate to you? I would love to receive a message from you either in my email or on Instagram. My email is alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. If something especially stood out to you from today's episode, please do me a huge favor and take a screenshot, share it on your social media, tag @whatswellnesspodcast and @aliayoga on Instagram, and I'll be sure to reshare. If I can ask another huge favor, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and family. Help to spread the word about What's Wellness and leave a review in the iTunes podcast app to have money donated on your behalf to Rob Machado Foundation and your warm words read on air. If you enjoy online yoga classes, home workouts, as well as guided meditations, find Alia Yoga on YouTube. That 30-minute core strengthening practice is up there now as well. And if you want to know more about what I offer, go to aliayoga.com. Thank you all so much for tuning in to What's Wellness podcast today. One thing I'm grateful for is the opportunity to practice being more vulnerable with the intention to connect with and provide educational information for you on this show. When I get a message from you about how an episode resonated or positively impacted you, it makes my whole week. Hearing that you've learned something or tried something new from what I have shared lights me up and makes me so grateful for this platform and the opportunity to share this information and connect with you in this way. Thank you once again for tuning in today. I'll be back next Thursday with a brand new episode for you, the final episode of season one. Have a wonderful rest of your day and week, and be well.